time is 1:34 p.m. We are back on the record for the formal hearing for OPAPA 16-002.
Mr. Bell, we're still in your case in chief. You may call your next witness.
I would like to call Ms. Debbie Gunness, please.
Please state your name.
Debbie C. Gunness.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I will.
Your witness, Mr. Bell.
Afternoon, Ms. Reedus.
Afternoon.
Could you describe your position at GCC?
I'm a buyer, too, in procurement.
And how long have you been in that position?
Going on 2 years.
2 years. And how long have you been at GCC?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. Can you briefly describe, I can be more specific if you need me to be, but could you give me sort of a brief description of, are you familiar with the IFB that we're here to discuss?
Yes.
Okay, could you kind of give me a very brief description of your involvement with the IFB?
My involvement is preparing the IFB for my supervisor's approval, tabulating information at the bid opening.
Okay, and then you also directed an instructional memo to the people to review the bid, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. That memo was dated February 16th?
I believe.
And you directed that memo to Jane Flores, Wesley Gima, Francisco Camacho, and Dean Rivera. Does that sound correct?
Yes.
And not Ashley, but Ashley Cabrera?
Angela.
Oh, sorry, Angela, I apologize. Thank you. Not Angela Cabrera, correct?
Correct.
Was she part of the bid eval team?
I believe so.
It was, do you know why she was not in that memo?
I was directed just to send it to the normal three evaluators.
Okay. And when you say the normal three evaluators, what do you mean by that?
We normally send it to three evaluators at the least.
Okay.
Yeah. More than one.
When you say the normal, I may have misinterpreted you. What you mean is you normally send it to three people?
At the least, yes.
Okay. How are those people selected?
One is a requester, normally through my supervisors.
Your
approval.
Would that be Ms. Evangelista?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So essentially she tells you who she wants to be on the bid eval team, or do you pick the people?
I would draft up the memo for her approval.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you know, who actually decides who's going to be on the eval team?
Correct.
Okay. In this instance, for this IFB,
yes.
Do you know, for example, who decided that Jane Flores would be on the team?
Because she's a requester, as well as,
Okay, because she was the person requesting the IFB.
Yes.
In fact, is it correct that she wrote the specs, or at least assisted in drafting the specifications?
Correct.
Okay. And Wesley Gima, is a program specialist and
correct.
Vice President of Finance. Do you know why he was on the bid eval team?
He was also, I do not remember that.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Mr. Francisco Camacho, because he's the data processing systems administrator?
Correct.
Okay. And then Mr. Dean Rivera, computer systems analyst.
Correct.
Okay. And so, at least was it you that... You did write the memo. What I'm trying to get at is, how did you arrive at these particular names? Was it you?
Objection. I believe she's answered that question.
I didn't quite hear the question. Hang on.
Sure.
Can you repeat your question and then you can state your objection again?
Sure.
Don't answer the question right away. This point is. Go ahead. What was the question?
Sure. To restate my question, I'm trying to ask very specifically. How did you get the names to add to your memo that you wrote? Like where did the names come from?
All right, and then hold on, and your objection?
And I believe she's answered that question in several different ways.
Okay. have to sustain the objection, Mr. Berdalio. I believe you, my notes indicate you did actually ask that question a few moments ago, and she said normally three people, or at least three people, serve on the evaluation committee.
No problem.
All right, please proceed.
In that memo, Ms. Wiggins, if you recall, you did give the evaluation team until February 29th, is that correct?
I believe so. I don't recall.
That's okay. So I assume then if you don't recall that date, you don't recall where that date came from, one way or the other?
Correct.
Okay, no problem. Would you agree that the web group made the selection on the same day that you wrote the memo?
I'm not aware of that.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's right. Generally, if you know, when was this the first memo that you drafted?
Correct.
This was the first memo.
Yes.
Would you want know one way or the other how long GCC usually takes to evaluate a bid?
We normally just give them 2 weeks.
2 weeks. In this case, does this sound correct to you that the bids came in on February 15th?
I don't recall.
That's no problem. You said that you normally give them 2 weeks. Do you know how long GCC as an institution normally takes? Like, for example, if you give them 2 weeks, do they take 2 weeks? Do they take a week?
It depends.
It just depends. Would you be able to give me an estimate, average time?
Sorry.
Okay. Do you know why they met on February 16th?
No.
Are you familiar personally with Mr. Gima, Wesley Gima?
I work with him.
And his position is program specialist and vice president of business.
I don't know about the vice president, I just know that he's a program specialist.
No worries. Do you personally know Carlos Halihali?
Personally, no, just business.
Professionally? Okay. But have you met him in person at any time?
When he submits his bids.
Okay. How long have you known?
When he submitted his bids. That's basically it.
When would you guesstimate he submitted his first bid?
Just this year.
Okay. So you might have met him when he submitted this bid?
Yes.
Okay. Did you meet him when he submitted this bid?
Yes.
Okay. You were a witness at the bid opening, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And what happened at the bid opening?
At the bid opening?
Yes.
I received his bid and stamped it.
Okay.
Ms. Duenas, excuse me, could you speak a little bit louder because we are recording?
Sorry, thank you. I couldn't hear because of your face. Yeah. Go ahead.
And how exactly did Mr. Halihali submit his bid?
He came in before the bid opening time. I stamped it and then that was it.
Okay. Do you have a sign-in sheet where people submit their bids?
Correct.
Did he sign in?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
He had to.
And do you recall the time that he rough estimate at all? What time is the office open?
We're open at 8.
Open at 8.
It's not before 8, but they have to drop it before the bid opening.
Do you recall what time the bid opening was scheduled for?
10 a.m.
You don't have any way of even guesstimating an hour before or 2 hours before the bid opening?
Sorry.
So you say that it was time stamped, correct? You recall, your testimony is that you recall stamping the bid sheet, but you don't recall the time,
correct?
Did you personally stamp long legs bid?
I believe so.
Okay. Does GCC normally stamp the bids when they're turned in?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see Mr. Sharma also?
Correct.
That morning? So you personally received both? Is that correct? Okay. Based on what you recall from the bid opening, how long did the bid opening last? From the time from 10 a.m. until when everybody left? Rough estimate? Half an hour? An hour?
An hour.
maybe an hour. And what did GCC, say anything to the bidders when, the bids were opened?
When Jolene opens the bids?
Correct. Was there any information, what information was disclosed to the bidders when, the bids were opened?
Their bid proposal, the pricing.
Okay. Was there anything else that was disclosed to the bidders?
Whatever information was in their submittal.
Well, do you mean in theory or in practice? Like, did they actually read everything in, each proposal to the bidders, or did you, what do you mean that that was disclosed?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
I guess my question is, okay, so I'm trying to picture this, you know, in, my head. So essentially the bids are submitted, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You open the bids, you review the bids, correct? You and Ms. Evangelista?
Ms. Duenas, could you say yes or no? Because the recording does not pick up your nods.
Okay.
Okay.
Can you?
Correct. So I'm stopping. I'm basically telling you what my assumptions are. I'm assuming that you open the bids and that you review them, and the bidders are, was Mr. Holly there for the bid opening?
I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay, so it's basically, it's you and Ms. Evangelista.
Correct.
And this Mr. Sharma is there? Do you recall him being there?
I believe so.
Okay. And when you say that the information that they submitted is available to Mr. Sharma, is that your testimony?
Correct.
What do you mean by, like, available how? Do you read the bids out loud, or do
I'm
you?
Sorry, I don't read it out loud. My boss reads it out loud. She, at the end, will inform the bidders if they would like a copy of the abstract that I tabulated. And then we provide copies.
If they ask.
Correct.
Did anyone ask?
I don't remember, I'm sorry.
That's right. Did anybody, do you recall whether or not either of the bids were confidential or any part of them were confidential?
Not at that time.
Not that you recall?
No.
So if Mr. Sharma had asked for a copy, you wouldn't be able to recall what he would have been, what he would have gotten?
No.
No problem.
Sorry.
I don't have any further direct questions. Thank you.
Ms. Wrightson, your witness.
Okay, thank you. Hello, Ms. Williams. Now, are you here today because of the subpoena served on you by the appellant, Juan Lips?
Okay.
Now, you testified several times that you didn't know or you couldn't recall what happened specifically for this bid opening. Why is that?
April this year, I suffered a stroke.
Can we have just a second? Can we have some tissues? We're off the record at 1:49. Don't worry, man.
Back on the record.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Great. And
okay,
so
for the record, I'm going to allow the witness to have her water and her tissue there throughout the rest of her testimony. Please proceed.
Thank you. So were you on medical leave for a while?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And so when did you come back to work at GCC?
June 20.
Okay, so welcome back, and I'm glad to see that you're doing really well. So because of your stroke, you don't necessarily remember the specific details of this procurement.
That's okay. Well, that's fine.
That's all right. We have a good record to go on, thankfully. Do you remember if GCC has any standard operating procedures for bid packet submissions?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Could you kind of give us a little preview of what typically happens, the standard operating procedure for a bid packet submission?
So before the bid opening time, the bidders bring in their packages, we stamp and the date and time stamp their packages, and then we have them make sure that they log in. Of course, we ask if they're staying for the bid opening, because they're not required to. If they need to leave, that's fine also. And then before the bid opening, we'll head down to the conference room, and of course their bid packages are signed in, stamped and everything. So then Jolene and I will open it. Most of the time the requesters are there.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of reading the bid openings, you just sign off on the documents. If the bidders are present, we ask if they want copies of the abstract. A majority of the time, at least the 2 years I've been there, they do.
They would like. And for the record, I'm going to be showing the witness Exhibit E, pages 1 and 2.
Okay. All right.
So what I'm showing you here is Exhibit E, page 1. Now, would this be the bid extract for that bid opening?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so what would your role be in the bid opening procedure?
I'm the one that signs off as the witness, tabulating the bids.
Okay, and when you say tabulate, are you the one that writes in the check marks?
Correct, but okay. Read out by the supervisor.
All right, thank you. So now, as part of the bid opening, then, the bidder's prices are read aloud, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm going to be showing page 2 of Exhibit E. And would this be the prices that were read aloud by Ms. Evangelista at the bid opening?
Yes.
And you would have been the one who would wrote these prices. I understand you don't necessarily remember what happened, but that would be your role, would be to write those prices.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Two exhibits that I showed you, Ms. Duenas, those are standard forms that GCC would use at every bid opening.
Correct.
Okay. And I do understand that, you know, for obvious reasons, you wouldn't necessarily remember the specific details of this bid opening. That's fine. But would you remember anything at all that would cause you to believe that GCC did not follow its standard operating procedure for this? Do you remember if GCC has a standard operating procedure for the amount of time that's usually allotted to evaluate proposals?
Normally, when I check with Jolene, we normally go 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Give or take.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Nothing further.
Just a quick one.
Mr. Bell, please proceed.
If I just spoke, and I apologize, I wasn't aware of your stroke. If you recall, do you remember a Freedom of Information Act from WattWebs?
Yes.
Were you a part of putting that the response together?
No.
Or a person? That's all I have. Thank you so much.
And Ms. Wrightson, you're not going to call Ms. Duenas.
No, I'm not. Sure. She's not part
of
the
Ms. Duenas.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Ms. Duenas, I'm going to excuse you as a witness. Thank you for complying with your, I believe you were subpoenaed. Thank you for complying with your subpoena. And I'm going to also order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses, third parties, until these proceedings are concluded. You understand? Okay. Have a good day. You can take the water and tissues with you. Next witness, Mr. Bell.
I would like to call Ms. Jolene Evangelista, please.
Who are you going to call after?
The last one would be Dr. O'Connor.
Okay.
Oh, sorry, I apologize, sorry. My own witness, I apologize. Actually, I wanted him to go first, but you were getting rid of the, letting the other witnesses.
That's great. We're going a little bit out of order.
I'm actually okay if the hearing officer has any preferences. I can call him last. Or
That's after this. It's up to you.
Okay.
your name for the record.
Jolene Evangelista.
Sorry, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
You may proceed.
And Ms. Evangelista?
Hello.
Could you state your position for the record, please?
I'm the procurement and inventory administrator.
Okay. Is that for GCC or the procurement officer?
Yes.
Okay. And how long have you been in that position?
14 and a half years.
How long is that the same that you've been at GCC?
Pardon?
Were you at that also at GCC for 14 years?
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the, generally familiar with the IFB that we're here to discuss?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recall language from that IFB stating that the bid packet required a copy of your business license expiring June 30, 2016 required upon award?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know who added that language?
Our office did. I did.
Okay. Why did you add that language?
Because normally, in the contract, when we issue an invitation for bid, depending on the contract period, the business license expires June 30, 2000, whatever the year is. So we just wait until we're ready to award the contract to ensure that they've submitted the business license.
So is this in all IFBs, the same language?
Yes.
Okay. Generally then, does GCC require that the bidder have a license before submitting the bid?
Generally?
Correct.
Not on this one.
Well, generally. So generally, does GCC require, in other words, can GCC consider for an award a bidder that is unlicensed?
Consider for an award?
Generally speaking, you stated for the record, and I'll restate it just to make sure that I understand.
Okay.
You stated that for this bid, the language, you stated that language is typically in most IFBs,
mm-hmm.
correct? And so
could,
when you...
Could you respond yes or no? It is hard to... because
okay.
we're recording
yes.
you. Yes,
yes
or no?
Right. Okay, so is what you're saying in the IFB is that they're not... the bidder is not required to produce a copy of their license
until upon award. Yes.
Does that mean that the bidder can be unlicensed? They don't need a license until they're awarded?
Correct, yes.
Okay. So, do you consider an unlicensed bidder and a licensed bidder equally responsible as a general matter in procurement?
Can you repeat the question?
I'll actually rephrase it.
Okay.
For this particular IFB, do you consider as far as whether the bidder is licensed or not, does GCC have any preference one way or the other?
For this bid, the business license is required upon award.
So basically, well, that you're restating.
But at the time of the bid submission, at the time of the bid opening, it was not required.
Sure. I don't mean to be crude, but just so that I'm not being confusing with the language. So does GCC basically not care one way or the other whether or not the bidder submitting their proposal is licensed or not?
GCC cares, but at the time of bid opening, that was not one of the requirements that they submit a Guam business license.
So then, well, GCC has no preference one way or the other whether or not the bidder submitting a proposal is licensed or not. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So you don't agree that you did have a bid eval team review the specifications, correct?
Yes.
Who is responsible for determining the lowest bid?
I am.
Okay. And which price do you compare?
For this website bid, for this specific bid, it was the first 3 years.
Why the first 3 years?
Because in the what was set forth in the bid invitation was a contract for a 3 year period with an option to renew for 2 consecutive years.
But aren't those 2 options valuable to GCC?
Yes, in the event that the services are performed satisfactorily, then GCC at that point will review it again.
So,
but this specific bid invitation was for three years, with an option to renew for 2 consecutive years.
If WSI or Long Limbs had submitted its proposal and just gave you the price for 3 years, would you have considered that a responsive proposal? In other words, it was submitting a price for those 2 optional years a requirement of the bid?
Yes.
Then wouldn't you agree that you're not comparing apples to apples if you're excluding those 2 years?
No, because we're looking at the first 3 years. Because in the bid price form, there was the first year, the second year, the third year, so the 3 years together, and then the option to renew. GCC wanted a breakdown of how each bidder provided their prices.
Do you have a general picture of that bid price form in your head at the moment?
Yes.
Do you recall there being a line at the bottom that says grand total? Does that sound familiar to you? Sound familiar? Or?
Yes.
Okay. And that grand total, it had a certain number on there, correct?
Yes.
You recall, was that number based on 3 years or was that based on 5 years?
The grand total was based on 5 years.
Why did it say grand total on the bid price form?
Because we wanted to see the totals for each one, but there was the 3 year period, the first year, second year, third year, fourth and fifth year.
But and that 3 year total, it wasn't even subtotal on the bid price form, was it?
No.
You would have to do that manually, kind of in your head, to even know what that price comparison was.
Correct.
So how can you say that that was the... Is that fair in your mind to compare the 3 years rather than five?
Yes, because going back to the invitation for bid, it specifically stated the contract period, which was 3 years, with an option to renew for 2 additional consecutive years.
Correct, and I noticed that you keep on repeating. You can't just stop at 3 years because that wasn't what was bid, correct? You weren't bidding a 3 year contract. Would you agree with that? Was the bid for a 3 year contract?
3 years with an option to renew for 2 additional years.
So those were part of the material terms of the IFB?
Yes.
Are you familiar with local procurement preference?
Yes.
What does that mean?
From what I understand, it's a business that has an office office on Guam, who may also have inventory, and they're established. They actually have a physical Guam address.
Does WSI have a physical Guam address?
Yes.
Is it an office?
I don't know if it's an office. I've never been there.
Is it a condominium in San Antonio? Or do you not know one way or the other?
I don't know.
Do they have
an address, though. There's a physical Guam address.
Do they have inventory?
I'm not aware of that.
Do they have any employees that you're aware of?
Yes.
Who's the employee?
Carlos Halihali. And because he's also he's actually the owner of the company.
Okay. Going back to that issue of comparing the bid prices, why not compare? It's understood, and correct me if I'm wrong, that all bids are subject to availability funding, correct?
Correct.
So why not just compare the first year? Why pick 3 years? Why not 1 year or 5 years? Why 3?
Okay, because This bid was website services for Guam Community College. And for this bid, it was a redesign, hosting, maintenance for the whole website to include also a portion with, you know, a logo design. So we were going to also implement that, and, you know, with the opening of the whole website, you know, the services, the new website, the whole look. So 1 year was not enough time to, you know, go through the whole building and redesigning of the website for the college.
Do you recall the bid eval team sending you a memo based on what they found?
Yes.
Didn't they say they determined WSI was the lowest bidder based on the first year? Isn't that what they said?
Yes.
So you disregarded that then?
No. They were the lowest bid for the first year, and they were also the lowest bid for the first 3 years.
But that's not what the bid eval team didn't say anything about 3 years, correct? While we're getting that memo for you, the local procurement preference. When do you apply that? Explain to me how that works in terms of how does that change the bid price?
Local procurement preference is when you're dealing with an off-island vendor. So if there's an off-island vendor and you're comparing a Guam, someone who's licensed to do, who's a Guam vendor, who's based on Guam, the off-island vendor must be at least 15% cheaper than the on-island vendor.
On that note, So is it your testimony that Carlos Howie Howie was a local vendor?
Yes.
Because you think he has a office somewhere?
Yes.
Okay, so does GCC have any policy or procedure for determining who's a local vendor?
Yeah, they have established businesses on Guam. They have a physical address.
And how do you determine their physical address? Did you look up?
No, they are in they're in our record. They have a physical address.
Does it make one difference to you one way or the other? So as long as there is a Guam address,
they have an office. And I know they're doing business on Guam.
And so long as you personally believe that, or is it?
No, it's in our files. It's in our, we have in our vendor database the address of, I believe it's a, I don't know the exact address, but it's Sinahanya, Guam. It's there. I mean,
it was a Holiday Tower in Sinahanya. Would you have any reason to dispute that?
No, because they have, I mean, there's some vendors that probably have businesses in other than an actual, you know, in other different places. Like, you know, they'll have maybe an office space in a.
So basically, as long as they have some sort of physical presence, mm-hmm. that makes them a local vendor. So they get the local procurement preference. Is
yes.
that also correct?
Can you repeat that question?
If, so long as basically any vendor, or any bidder, sorry, uh-huh. that writes down a local address, if they just give you some address that you says Guam in it, then you determine that they're a local bidder. Is that
from
correct?
From what I believe, they're both, yes, both the bidders, they're local vendors. They're not...
Well, I'm not asking you though about this. I'm actually asking what GCC's standard procedures are. So for this bid, I understand you to be saying
they're local.
That you know that they're local.
Yes.
But I'm just asking, but I'm asking a different question, which is, does GCC have a standard, procedure for determining that, who's local?
We look at the address on their documents that they submit. And if it's a Guam address, then yes, we understand that to be a local vendor.
Okay. I'm going to show Ms. Evangelista Guam Woods Exhibit 2, page 50.
Could you please get around and
sure, sorry about that.
Talk to the witness? There you go.
Sure. Would you mind reading the memo, please?
Members of the website advisory group met today to review the two bids submitted for redesign, development, and hosting of the GCC website, one from Guam Webs and the other for WSI. In attendance were myself, Wes Gima, Frank Camacho, Dean Rivera, and Angela Cabrera. Based on a thorough analysis of
Mr. Belcher, we can read it.
Sure.
It's taking up valuable time.
Sure.
Please proceed.
Can you just read from due until, based on that, do you see what years the bid eval team was considering?
Due to the fact that we did not specify a preference for either proprietary or open source content management system in the bid, the lowest bidder deemed qualified is WSI's proprietary bid price at $23,100 for the first year.
Having read that, Ms. Evangelista, do you now agree that the bid eval team only compared price on the first year? But it's your testimony, I won't ask, sorry, repeat the questions. So you agree that they reviewed a different number of years than you did, correct?
I reviewed also the first year.
But you said
as well as the three.
Which price do you use to determine who's the lowest bidder? Because you're saying you review both. So I'm confused as to, do you just pick whichever one feels right to you, or?
No, maybe I need to clarify, because the contract period is for 3 years with an option to renew for two additional consecutive years. And yes, I reviewed the first year. I also reviewed the 3 years together, the total.
But which one is the proper?
The first year.
The first year. Mm-hmm. So are you correcting your earlier testimony that the bid eval should be based on the three-year total? Are you now correcting your testimony to say it should be based on only the first year? Or am I confused?
Can you repeat the question?
Earlier, you testified, and correct me if I'm wrong, I can certainly be wrong. Mm-hmm. I understood you to testify the correct comparison, the price that you are comparing, mm-hmm. I say it's 5 years, mm-hmm. that's our position. You say you said it was 3 years.
Yes.
That's really that's the price we should be comparing.
Yes. Yes.
Now you're saying, or at least the bid eval team said, well, we compared it based on the first year alone. Are they correct or incorrect to base their price eval on just the first year?
Incorrect.
Okay.
Because we're following the what was specified in the scope of work and the specifications in the bid.
Following the IFP?
Yes, yes.
Which said 3 years
three
plus
years.
Two options to renew?
Yes.
Okay. Would you agree that if Guam Webs had gotten the local procurement, if Guam Webs had received the local procurement preference and WSI did not, would Guam Webs have been the lowest bidder? If you recall.
No, because they're both Guam, they're both vendors on Guam.
Okay.
I wouldn't have applied the local procurement preference for that 15% savings to one or the other, because they're both Guam vendors. They're not off-island vendors.
That's your testimony. Okay.
Yes.
Do you recall from the language of the bid that the bidders are cautioned that the college will not consider for an award any offer submitted by a bidder who has not complied with the Guam licensing law?
Yes.
Do you recall that language?
Mm-hmm.
Did GCC consider WSI for an award before it was licensed?
No.
When do you believe WSI, was WSI, as you see here today,
mm-hmm.
did WSI have a current Guam business license between June 30th of 2013 and March 11th of 2016?
Mr. Bell, we have already stipulated to that fact. I don't know why you need to bring it up. I thought you said during the stipulation that this would reduce the questioning that you had for the witnesses.
Given the fact that GCC was not licensed.
WSI.
Sorry, I apologize. WSI was not licensed. Doesn't that preclude it from being considered for an award under the terms of the bid?
For this bid, the requirement was that they provide their copy of their Guam business license upon award of the contract.
Okay. And I believe you testified earlier that GCC essentially is okay if it doesn't have a license. So maybe I understand your testimony. When did you become aware that WSI wasn't licensed?
Well, when we issued the bid award, we required that they submit, there were two items that we required that they submit prior to the award of the contract. One was the listing of their workers to clear them off of the sex offender registry, and the other one was a copy of their Guam business license.
Okay. And as GCC's procurement officer, you don't find that an unlicensed bidder is less qualified in terms of character, integrity, reputation, judgment, or ability to maintain a product or service?
Well, for this bid, it wasn't a requirement until award.
Okay, but.
But yes, it's they we will not be able to do business with them if they are not licensed.
But I thought you said earlier that GCC doesn't require them to be licensed. Would you agree that there's a difference between being licensed and submitting your license? That those are two different factual scenarios?
Yes.
They might overlap, but they might not.
I think for this bid, no, it's important that they, I mean, we cannot do business with them without a Guam business license. But for this bid, the requirement for them to submit a business license is upon award of the contract. And they did submit their Guam business license on March 11, 2016.
Does this language from the IFB sound familiar? Standard for determination of lowest responsible bidder, GCC shall be guided by, I'm paraphrasing here, the bidder's pricing, ability, speed of performance, character, integrity, reputation, judgment, experience, efficiency, previous and existing compliance with procurement rules, financial resources, ability to maintain a product or service, and quote, compliance with all the conditions to the solicitation. Does that language sound familiar?
Yes.
Is that standard IFB language?
Yes.
Would you agree that having a license or not having a license affects those factors when you're reviewing a bid?
Yes, but I was not aware at the time that they didn't have a business license, but that was not a requirement for this bid.
Well, producing the license was not a requirement.
Correct, correct.
But having a license was,
yes,
was a requirement,
yes,
for being considered for award. Would,
yes,
you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay.
But we issued the contract. We had to get those two items, like I said, the listing to clear the workers, and also a copy of their Guam business license,
sure,
which they did.
And there's no dispute that WSI had a license at the time they signed the contract with GCC. Is that your understanding as well? They had a license by the time.
Yes, or no?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. But the bid was already awarded to WSI at that time, wasn't it?
No.
When, in your mind, when was the bid awarded to WSI?
The bid award was awarded on the day that it was signed.
So it's your position that it's not awarded until you sign a contract?
Correct.
But didn't Guam Webs receive a notice that WSI was awarded the bid on February 23rd?
No, that was the non-award. Guam Webs received their non-award.
Why was Guam Webs sent a notice of non-award? Had GCC made a determination as to who was going to be awarded the bid?
Can you repeat the question with the dates?
Do you agree that on February 16th, Dr. Okada signed a...
Oh, that's only the evaluation. That was the memo from the evaluation, the web group, on the recommendation that was forwarded to Dr. Okada.
We're going to get to those in a minute, so I'll come back to that. Are you aware of GCC's explicit timestamp proposals?
Yes.
Great. So you don't agree that WSI was awarded the bid on February 16th?
I need to look at the documents again for the dates.
Are you familiar with Guam Webs' protest of the bid award? And what did GCC determine with this protest?
That Guam Webs' protest was untimely.
What was the basis for GCC's position?
That a protest is untimely if it's past the 14-day period of when they should or should have known of the facts.
In your mind, what specifically was it that Guam Webs knew or should have known about its protest?
That it was going to be awarded to WSI.
Well, do you recall, as you sit here today, do you recall what the basis for Guam Webs' protest was?
Local procurement. Licensing, they had a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know it all in detail.
As you testify now,
mm-hmm.
Is it your position that Guam Webs should have known all those things beyond 14 days from when it filed the protest?
I don't know what Guam Webs knew at the time, but I know that they had a representative present at the bid opening.
So as you
on
said,
February 15th.
Sorry, I apologize. As you sit here today, you testify, you don't know one way or the other what Guam Webs knew or didn't know.
They received the bid abstract and the information.
The agency decision denying Guam Webs to protest as being untimely, you signed off on that,
yes,
decision, correct?
Yes.
And you testified earlier that you who made that decision?
I did.
You did. And you're saying it's based on what Guam Webs should have known earlier, correct?
Yes.
What should have Guam Webs known earlier?
Well, based on the bid opening, they received the information, but I don't know exactly what they knew earlier, but I just know that they were present at the bid opening, so they received a copy of the bid abstract and all the documents that were submitted by the two bidders that submitted, WSI and GlomWebs.
So is it your testimony now then that the bid abstract alone gave GlomWebs its reasons for protesting?
Okay, from what I understand, I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I read that to mean that they knew on a specific date, and I counted 14 days after that, and it was late.
Okay.
But
14 days after what? I apologize.
After we issued the non-award.
So it's your position that
That's what I understood it to mean.
Okay. So then, is it your testimony then? You say that WSI was not awarded the bid until it signed the contract. Is that your testimony?
No, GlomWebs received the non-award, and then I counted 14 days after that.
I'm actually asking, a different question.
Okay.
I asked you about when does GCC award, or when did GCC award WSI?
When the contract was signed.
Didn't WSI receive a notice of bid award on February 23rd,
yes,
of 2016?
But in that bid award, they had to meet those two items need to be submitted before we awarded the contract. One is the listing of their workers, their names and their social security numbers or their date of birth, and also a copy of their Guam business license. We cannot award that. That was one of those are the requirements upon award of the contract.
So just to tie those two dates together, you are saying that GlomWebs should have known the basis for its protest on February 15th, despite the fact that there wasn't even a final award. Would you agree with that statement? There wasn't an award made one way or the other, and yet GlomWebs didn't file its protest in time because it should have known why it didn't win the award.
I was mistaken. You know, I'm not an attorney, but that's how I counted those days.
Okay.
But I don't know exactly what GlomWebs knew.
Can I assume then that the GCC didn't seek legal advice in determining, you know, how to apply that?
Yes, I made that decision.
Are you familiar with this language from the IFB? Rejection of the bid will be required if the descriptive literature does not show that the products offered conforms to specifications and other requirements of the solicitation. Are you familiar with that language?
Descriptive literature?
Correct.
Yes.
What is descriptive literature?
It's the documents that they submit to just show that what they're going to provide, whether it's goods or services, meet the requirements set forth in the bid.
If WSI simply restates the specifications and then says it understands and will comply, is that alone sufficient to meet the specification?
Objection, the web group evaluated the proposals for responsiveness.
Response is she's the chief procurement officer.
I'll allow the question. Overruled.
Okay, I'm not an IT person, but yes, if they're going to perform the services and they're going to provide, they're promising to perform all the services that were requested, but they didn't just submit a statement like that. They provided their documentation, their bid proposal.
Okay, so as the chief procurement officer, mm-hmm. your understanding, as you stated, there was a bid evaluation sheet, correct?
Yes.
And the bid eval team goes down a checklist of all the specifications spelled out in the IFB, correct?
Yes.
And they have to each person is deciding whether or not to check that box, correct?
Yes.
If WSI's didn't otherwise respond to that specification and simply said WSI understands and will comply, would that statement alone be enough to check the box as having met that specification?
Yes.
That alone.
Yes.
Okay. So would you agree that confidential and proprietary bidder information is supposed to be readily separable from the bid packet?
Yes.
In order to facilitate public inspection of the non-confidential portion?
Yes.
Did WSI submit confidential information?
Yes.
Was it readily separable from its non-confidential portion?
No.
Did they just stamp everything confidential?
41 pages of their bid packet were stamped confidential.
Was that its entire bid packet?
No.
Which pages were not stamped confidential?
The bid price form, the affidavits, all the other additional documents they submitted in their bid packet.
Did you make any independent review of which documents of those 41 pages were actually confidential?
Yes.
How did you make that determination?
So I went through there, I opened their bid packet, and 41 pages, like I said, were marked confidential, and I knew that not all of the pages were confidential, so because I'm not an IT person, so what I did was I contacted WSI, and I contacted Carlos Hollyhobby, and I explained that there was a FOIA request, and that I would need to provide the information. However, I wanted to ensure that I knew exactly which pages were confidential, but not, you know, I did advise him that the 41 pages, you know, some of them didn't, they you know, obviously they were not confidential, all confidential. So he had told me, he says he needs to get his computer, he'll return my call. So I waited. And then he called me back, so because I told him that we need to go through every single page. So I went through page by page with him, and he indicated, you know, he advised me which ones were confidential and which ones were not. And the ones that were not, then I separated them. I put post-its, and then I went through it, and those were the documents that were not marked confidential is the information that I provided in the FOIA request.
So as you testify now, what you're saying is when you looked at the bids to regard confidentiality, you could just tell that some of the stuff is not confidential.
Yes.
All by yourself, without before you even asked him, you could.
Yes.
You said yourself.
Yes.
Some of this was obviously not confidential.
Yes.
Why didn't you review that when? Aren't you supposed to review that when he submits the bid in the first place?
No, not at the bid opening. I didn't look at it at the time that the bid was opened.
So as a matter of GCC procedure, what do you do to verify whether or not documents identified as confidential are actually confidential? Do you not do anything unless somebody sends a FOIA request?
Some vendors submit it separately in an envelope. And some market confidential, and I'll have to take those I'll have to separate them.
Okay.
But in this case, they were all those in their proposal, the 41 pages, they were all marked confidential.
And when you say you did your own independent review of that, what you mean is when we got FOIA'd, we asked Carlos how they helped. Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Are you familiar with the language of the bid IFBs requiring all parties to act in good faith?
Yes.
What does good faith mean to you?
That they're fair.
Objection, that's a legal conclusion. Ms. Evangelista is not an attorney.
Mr. Bell, in response to the objection?
As the chief procurement officer, they're actually writing the terms of the IFB requiring good faith. If they don't know what it means, how can they make that a requirement?
Going to allow the question. The objection is overruled. Please proceed. based on her position as the chief procurement officer at GCC.
I don't want to put the words in your mouth if you don't know. You know, just I just want to know what you do know. Do you have any idea what that means? What is, sorry, you started to answer.
Good faith?
Yes.
Can you just repeat the question?
Sure. What is in the terms of the IFB, GCC, mm-hmm. and you state that this is standard IFB language, correct? Mm-hmm. What does good faith mean to you?
That the bidders came up with their proposals and submitted, based on, they were honest and not, they didn't, arrive at, their submissions, they're not lying. They're basically, this is their the best the bid that they submitted is based on their expertise and they just went through thoroughly and looked at the bid specifications and that was their true, their bid without having to. It was in good faith.
Sure.
Sure.
Basically, fairness,
yeah.
Essentially. Do you think it's fair for WSI to mark all of its pages confidential? Is that fair to the other bidders? If, as you say, you didn't think there. Some of those pages were to you obviously not confidential.
No, I mean some were not. Because confidential. Information, if they have any trade secrets or proprietary information, in there. But the 41 pages, yeah, I did believe that there were, pages that were not confidential.
And as GCC's chief procurement officer, would you agree that the as much of the record as possible is supposed to be reviewable by public inspection?
Yes.
And what do you think is the reason for that?
I'm not sure why they marked all 41 pages confidential.
No, my question was, why is it important to have the bids or the procurement
records?
So
there's transparency and it's open.
How long did it take, if you know, how long did it take the bid eval team to review the bids and reach a decision?
A few hours.
Do you know when they reviewed the bid?
February 16th.
Do you know why that date?
Because that's the date that they were all available to me.
And how do you know that?
Because everyone has different schedules, and I know they were all, they're all very busy, so there's a time that they all have to come in, because they met together to go through the evaluation, so...
I'm not sure I understand your answer. I guess what I'm asking you is, you're saying that you know or believe
mm-hmm.
that February 16th happens to be the date they're
mm-hmm.
all available. What do you base that knowledge or belief on?
Because they submitted their evaluation memo to our office before the deadline.
So based on the fact that they reviewed it February 16th, to you that says that must have been the day that they were available?
Yes.
Is that your testimony?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's a big, big group, the evaluation panel.
On that note, are they required to review the bids together? Are they all
yes.
required to all sit down together
yes.
and review the evals
they need to
at the same time?
Yes.
Well,
but they, no, they, we provided them the evaluation, right? And they shared the packets, but they did meet all together.
Well, I'm asking if it's required that they meet all together. So just something that they felt like doing, or
yeah.
is that something that they're required to do?
To all meet together?
Correct.
Yes, they normally all meet together to just make sure, to go through and check each one to make sure that everything is in.
Are they required to meet together, or is that... If you know, does GCC have a rule?
Objection. I don't see the relevance of any of this.
In response to the objection, Mr. Bell?
Simply that a lot of testimony has been made we've alleged that that was a really quick decision, right? 2 weeks, they're given 2 weeks, they decide the next day. The explanation has been, that's the only time they were all available to meet.
Therefore, that's what she testified to as well. Likewise, the second time you asked a question, she responded with, the evaluation committee normally all meet together. How much further do you want to go down this path?
Just wanted to know if that's a rule, or I guess the answer is that's our practice. And
I think she just said that. Okay, I'm going to sustain the objection. Please move on. Sure.
Do you know Carlos Halley-Halley?
Yes.
How long have you known him?
Well, because he's our vendor.
Okay. How long have you known him?
For probably the last, since we first, maybe 5 years.
Okay.
But I mean, I know him
as
the owner of, WSI.
Sure, no problem. Was WSI more responsive to the bid than OneWeb's?
More responsive?
More responsive to the bid than OneWeb's.
No, they both responded.
Was WSI more responsible to the bid, or considered more responsible than OneWeb's? If you recall.
Were they more responsible?
Whether it was WSI either more responsive or more responsible to the bid than OneWeb's?
They were both on the same.
Okay. Do you recall the memo that you wrote from to Dr. Okada on February 16th?
Yes.
Do you recall representing to Dr. Okada that WSI was the lowest, quote, lowest, comma, most responsive and responsible vendor, end quote? Why did you say that?
Because they were the lowest and they were responsive.
Right.
And, I mean,
can I ask a witness to speak up, please?
They were lowest and they were responsive, and I believed they were also responsible.
But you added the word most in there, didn't you?
Yes.
If I say WSI is the most responsive and responsible vendor, doesn't that mean that more so than OneWeb's? Isn't that what that means?
Based on the price. Because they were the lowest. So they have to be all three. Lowest, responsive, and responsible.
You don't think that those are three different categories? Low, lowest bidder, responsive bidder, and responsible? You think it's all just kind of one?
Because you can't, I mean, they could be responsive and not the lowest, but this was a bid, so a lowest and responsive.
So potentially WSI could have been the lowest bidder, but neither responsive nor responsible. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
Depending on how the
yes.
interview goes. Mm-hmm. So do you still maintain that that was not an error? Is it perhaps a typo, or did you actually mean to say that? Did you actually, as you sat here now, just so I understand your testimony, as you sit here now, you still believe that because WSI was the lowest bidder, therefore they were also the most responsive and responsible?
I believe that they were the lowest and responsive. Now, if we're, because you're getting to the business license, right? On
I'm
the
just
responsibility
asking you,
portion?
I'm just asking you what you meant by your words that you wrote. So,
okay.
I'm not trying to.
So at the time, I believe that WSI, based on the evaluation that were submitted by the web group, that they were the lowest, responsive, and responsible there at that time. So that is why I wrote that, because I believe that they were the lowest, responsive, and responsible bidder.
Okay, I don't want to be accused of harping on that. Why did GCC, do you agree that GCC waited until February 23rd to notify WSI that they were awarded the bid?
Hasn't this been asked and answered?
Can you repeat the question, please?
I think she, no, in fairness, I think she's right. I think we've established that, well, we disagree on whether, when WSI was awarded the bid, but we do agree that February 23rd was the date of a memo from GCC to WSI stating that they were awarded the bid.
All right, well, I'm sustaining the objection, please move on.
If you know, who, if anybody, on the Video Bell team was an IT person?
Oh, the specific names?
Correct. Of,
okay.
Yes.
Frank Camacho.
Okay.
Dean Rivera, but he has passed away.
Okay.
Wes, probably a little technical.
Wes
Schema.
Sure.
Yeah. But the true IT that actually there are MIS team, Frank Camacho and Dean Rivera.
So not really Wesley Bima.
He's Wes.
Based on what?
Technical.
When you say
because
technical, what do you mean?
He's the person that we call on for specifications, the Macs, everything with the the computers. He's familiar with that also. But he's not in the MIS. He's not in the IT department, but he has a lot of, he has technical expertise. But from the IT department is Frank Camacho, Francisco Camacho, and Dean Rivera.
Okay. So a lot of these have been answered, so I'll skip over. In hindsight, do you feel the GCC made any mistakes at all in the way it handled the bid or the evaluations?
The way we handled the evaluations?
The bid itself or the evaluations? At any single point during this entire procurement process, do you feel that there's anything that specifically that GCC shouldn't have done or could have done better?
Throughout this whole process, there are a lot of things that we could improve on.
What would be examples of those things?
One would be that, and we've already started this, is so we have a bid submission, right? So you submit your bids, we have a sign-in sheet. The bid openings, the vendors are not required that they stay for the bid. So whoever submits their bid packet, they come in, they sign in, we date and time stamp their bids. But only if there's two or three people, only the ones that actually submit the packet will sign in. So you'll know the number of bidders. What we didn't do in the past is at the bid opening, whoever stays, because it's not a requirement, we didn't have them sign in. So we do that now. So those are the things that we do. Another thing is that we also started is the business licenses. Because the business licenses, all the business license expire June 30 of that year. So what we do is all the current contracts that we have for contractual services, we have a little extra, box to ensure that they've submitted their current business license for that period. So those are the two things that we've changed. But there are a lot of it's not a perfect bid, but there are improvements that, and those are the two things that we already implemented.
I appreciate your answer. I do have just one quick follow-up question though. Wasn't that the box for the business license, wasn't that already on the bid abstract?
Oh no, I'm talking about, we have a separate, I have a whole list of renewals and contractual services. We just added an extra column for Guam business license.
That's all I have for direct. Thank you so much.
Ms. Rice, your witness for cross.
Thank you. Hello, Ms. Evangelista.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm okay.
It's been all right. Do you need water or? You've been up there for a while. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Let me find one of my questions again. Okay, let's talk first about GCC's contracts. What is the standard operating procedure for the contract terms when GCC puts out an IFB?
Okay, so we have services that we procure. And so, for example, custodial or security guard, normally it's 1 year with an option to renew for 4 additional 1 year terms.
Okay, but this contract here was a 3-year contract with 2 options to renew at GCC's sole discretion, is that correct?
Yes.
And so why would this contract be any different than the other ones?
Because this one's website services for Guam Community College, and it entails redesigning, maintenance, hosting, and so, you know, it's going to take time to build it, and also at the same time, they were going to, they were trying to market or come up with the new GCC logo and put that in and launch it together with the new website.
And so what is GCC's standard operating procedure for looking at, say, pricing on an IFB to determine the lowest price?
Lowest price is for multiple year contracts?
Yes. It's, would it be based on the contract term that's in
yes,
the IFB?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So, let's see. Let's talk about the bid opening for a moment.
Okay.
So how many bid openings have you conducted at GCC?
Over 200.
Okay. And so there's a standard operating procedure for GCC's bid openings.
Yes.
Could you explain that standard operating procedure for us?
Okay. So on the bid opening day, the bids can be submitted also even the day before. But what we do is we prepare in advance a bid opening submission sign-in sheet, and so upon receipt of so and then also the bid price form and the bid abstract, that's all prepared in advance, and then once the bidders start to submit their bids, then we receive it, we date and timestamp it according to when it was received. And then they would, each bidder, as they come in, will date and timestamp it. At the same time, they're filling in their address, the name of the company, the date, their fax and phone number.
Okay, and then at the actual bid opening then?
Yes, so what happens is once we get everything together, because the bid opening, normally we have bid openings at 10 a.m. Sometimes, depending on the situation, we'll have it in the afternoon, but very, very rare. So we have it at 10 o'clock. We receive the bid packets, okay? If it's for a long period of time, let's say if they submitted the day before, then we will secure that bid package. So it stays sealed, and then we bring it to our conference room, and then we open it. So then once it's 10 a.m., you know, there no... late bids are accepted, then we start to open it based on the first one that we received.
Okay, thank you. And so do you remember anything about the particulars of this bid opening?
Okay, this bid opening. So I'm not in the office that actually receives it, but occasionally I do help. But this specific bid opening, you know, we had the bid opening submission sheet, and we had 2 bid submissions, and the first one was from WSI, Carlos Holly, and it wasn't date and timestamped by me, but I remember that packet was received and dated February 15, 2016, and that we received at 8:56. We only had 2 bid submissions for the website services. And then right after that, so Carlos Holly from WSI had to sign in. And then the next one was from Raj Sharma from Guam Webs. And so that one was date and timestamp. It wasn't by me again, but I know that that one was at 9:30 on February 15, 2016. And so we prepare, we make sure that, you know, we're already going upstairs, because normally it's in our conference room on the second floor, and we prepare everything like 10 minutes before. And then we also just make sure that there aren't any straggler bidders. They know, you know, everything. They know where our office is to receive it. And then we just bring the packets upstairs. Once it's 10 a.m., then we start, basically like how you started in the very beginning, you know, with the bid description, the bid number, that it was the bid opening, and then I basically open each one. So in this specific bid, I opened WSI's first. Debbie Duenas, our buyer one, she's also there. She fills in the abstract, and then I publicly announce the bid prices, you know, based on the bid price form. And also we have another sheet that has all the requirements of the bid, and then we just check it off. And then once that's all done, I, you know, I let everyone know that, you know, thank you for coming, that we will let everyone know of the bid award and the non-awards. Normally it takes about 2 weeks to go through the whole, you know, process, and then we will inform them. And if they would like, they could wait, and we can make a copy of the bid abstract for them, or otherwise we could email it to them.
Okay. And so just to be clear then, you've read the bidders' names and their prices.
Yes.
At this bid opening.
Yes.
And the bid abstract and the pricing form now.
Yes.
Join the witness exhibit E at page one. And on page one here, would this be the bid abstract form?
Yes.
And if you flip to the next page, is that the bid pricing form?
Yes.
Okay. And so you would have read these bids, these prices aloud at
yes.
the bid opening. So anybody who was at the bid opening would have heard you read these prices aloud.
Yes.
And at the bid opening, you said that. Were you necessarily concerned that WSI didn't submit a copy of its business license?
No.
And why is that?
Because that wasn't a part of the, it was upon award. So
upon award, okay.
Yes.
And we've spent a little time with award. So so the bid, the IFB, did it require upon award of the contract?
Yes.
Okay, and is there a difference between a bid award and a contract award? Okay, what would be a bid award?
Okay, so the bid award for this specific bid was, they still needed to fulfill those two requirements. If they didn't, then we wouldn't be able to proceed with the contract.
Okay, so the awarding a contract would be Dr. Okada signing
yes.
the contract on
yes.
behalf of GCC.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So let's talk for a minute about your February 16 memorandum to Dr. Okada, which is going to be on Exhibit E at page 3. And so would this be the memorandum that you would have submitted to Dr. Okada?
Yes.
Okay, and would it just have been that memorandum, or what goes with that memorandum, I
okay.
guess.
So when I submit the evaluation of the bid, or she'll also get all the documents, their bid proposals, and then also the evaluation memo from the evaluation team, and then she can decide, you know, she'll approve it or disapproved.
Okay, so Dr. Okada basically receives everything.
Yes.
You hand her a stack of papers.
Right.
Okay, and do you know what Dr. Okada looks at when she evaluates, before she approves or disapproves a contract?
Oh, she looks at everything. She's very thorough, so if there's a question, she'll put a post-it note, but for the most part, she you know, she looks at all the documents.
Okay. All right, thank you. So let's talk for a minute about, we brought up the Sunshine Act request, and I guess most people are calling it a FOIA request.
Okay.
So let's talk about that for a moment. And so we're going to be looking at, we're showing the witness, Guam Web is Exhibit 3.
Okay.
And so while we're looking at that then, let's see, would you please read for the record the highlighted portions, the documents that were requested?
Okay, so one, please provide all records pertaining to the review, discussion, evaluation, and scoring of the bid number GCC-FB16006. And then number five, please provide a copy of WSI's response, in parentheses, submitted proposal for the said bid.
Okay, so in your mind, did this ask for the entire procurement record?
No.
Okay, but what would you interpret the first line to mean, documents regarding evaluation of proposals?
All the records that we used for the evaluation, the everything from the web group.
And is that what you provided to,
yes,
to Guam Web? So you provided the evaluation sheets, all of that information?
Yes.
Okay. And when it says WSI's proposal, mm-hmm, is that different than the entire bid packet?
Yeah, so the entire bid packet was because it's original and two copies. So it wasn't like I didn't provide the whole, everything in the bid packet, okay, just their WSI's proposal.
Okay, so I understand. There's a difference between the bid packet and the proposal. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the proposal would be part of the bid packet.
Correct.
Okay, but the bid packet would contain the proposal, but the proposal doesn't mean the entire bid packet.
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. So, and we talked a little bit, you've talked a little bit about already about what happened when you received this Sunshine Act request, mm-hmm, or FOIA request. And we've got, find it. Okay, you said that you called Mr. Holly about WSI.
Yes.
About the request that was received, and that you knew that a lot of pages were not confidential.
Yes.
Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff that he deemed, yes, not confidential. And that you had called him.
Yes.
And that you had written a memo to the file.
Yes.
I'm showing the witness Exhibit G to the, actually it's Exhibit B to Exhibit G, which is part of our submission under steel. But it's Exhibit G on of our exhibits for the hearing today. And it'd be the third page of Exhibit G. Mm-hmm. Okay, is this the memo to the file that you drafted?
Yes.
Okay, so you called Mr. Holly,
mm-hmm,
and then immediately afterwards you prepared that memo, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that would be an accurate depiction of what you did that day, that,
yes,
you had called him, because you knew that some of the documents were not, obviously,
yes,
not confidential.
Yes.
Okay, and when you assembled the procurement record for submission to OPA here today, did that procurement record contain WSI's bid packet, except for the confidential pages that,
yes,
Mr. Holly, okay, so everything's been in there,
yes,
since the bid packet has been submitted?
Yes.
Now, let's talk about the protest.
Before you move on, can I just one thing? You may have said this, and you said it very quickly, but when did Guam Webs receive the responses to their FOIA requests? What date was that? I think you said it real quick.
The first, or the 4 days, that day, because it's 4 days.
So it's 4 days after their request?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, whatever date that was,
yes,
that's... Got it. All right, thank you. Please proceed.
March 1st, I believe.
But it's 4 days after,
yes,
GCC received their request.
Yes, because we make sure we have 4 days to provide all the information.
I'm just trying to understand that,
okay,
part of your testimony,
yes,
went by very quick. Please,
okay,
proceed. Sorry.
So let's talk for a minute then about the protest decision here. And So you testified that you read the law to mean that the 14-day period begins with the notice of the non-award?
Yes.
To Guam Webs, is that correct?
Yes.
So I'm going to be showing the witness Exhibit 2 at page 64. And could you read the highlighted portion for us?
In accordance with Chapter 9 Legal and Contractual Remedies, GCA 9, Section 9101, when filed, protest shall be made in writing to the Chief Procurement Officer, the Director of Public Works, the head of a purchasing agency, and shall be filed in duplicate within 14 days after the protester knows or should have known of the facts giving rise thereto. A protest is considered filed when received by the Chief Procurement Agency, the Director of Public Works, or the head of a purchasing agency. Protests filed after the 14-day period shall not be considered.
Okay, now I'm going to have to give you the same admonish. We can read all these things, but we don't okay. waste a whole lot of time having the witness read the paragraphs.
So I can. So I noticed that you're basically quoting the statute in this record. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, I noticed that you cited it, you know, Chapter 9, Legal and Contractual Remedies, Section 9101, and actually 9101 is part of the GAR, so it would be the rules and the regulations. Just to be clear, you're not a lawyer, are you, Ms. Evangelista?
No.
Okay. And you don't have any legal education or any legal training at all?
No.
Okay. And I think we've established that you did not contact the lawyer before you denied this protest. You did this all on your own. I believe that's all I have for Ms. Evangelista right now.
Is there any redirect, Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Please proceed.
Generally, as GCC procurement officer, have you ever gotten a FOIA request before for?
Yes.
Basically for IFB materials, correct?
Yeah.
Something you do?
Yes.
Pretty common then?
Maybe, I don't know.
In the last
5 to 10, because there, normally there's a they request how many, like under 10 a year.
Okay, so about 10 a year for the last how many years?
14 and a half.
Okay, and you didn't think the date stamp or the sign-in sheet were relevant to Guamo's FOIA request in this context?
I went through each of, I just followed the AG's form and, you know, maybe because it didn't say date and time stamp of, but I do have the originals there. But I didn't include it. I just followed the complete procurement list and then I just made copies of the bid proposals.
To make sure that I don't misunderstand you, are you referring to preparing the agency report, or are you are actually talking about referring
the complete to the procurement FOIA. Complete oh the FOIA
yeah I'm asking about the FOIA
oh the FOIA request. It didn't ask for the date and timestamp.
That was how you interpreted the question. All records pertaining to the review, discussion, evaluation,
yeah,
and scoring.
Because I provided all the records.
Okay, no problem. And do you recall during this whole process, seeing emails back and forth between GCC personnel regarding this IFB?
For the FOIA?
Right, just before you even get into that, I'm just asking, you may or may not be aware of other people talking about emails that were sent back and forth. So I'm just asking you, do you recall seeing any emails sent back.
Objection. I don't understand the relevance of this question.
We're talking about she actually brought it up on her cross, asking about the FOIA responses and what was there and why it wasn't there. So other witnesses have talked a lot.
Are the FOIA responses part of your appeal?
It is, because one of the things that we've alleged is we've asked for everything. It was a really comprehensive.
Okay, but there's a separate procedure if you believe an agency has not complied with a FOIA request. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that's a filing with the Superior Court of Law.
Correct.
Okay, so what's the relevance to their failure to provide documents in this case?
Prejudicing our appeal wouldn't be, that's our position, just to be, maybe explain a little bit more. We've alleged, specifically even in our hearing brief, that we feel that we've been prejudiced by not getting rid of the full record, so I'm just trying to find out
allow you to go on just a little further.
Sure.
Okay. Other than that, the objection is denied. Please proceed with that cautioning.
Sure, thank you. I just wanted to find out if you were familiar with, before you got the FOIA request, because you're familiar with this FOIA request, correct?
Yes.
Do you recall seeing emails between the people that were involved in this particular procurement?
Emails from?
From anyone, organizing the February 16th bid review?
Yes, because we also have to, like when we send out any, like even the non-awards and all that, we need to confirm, we send emails to confirm that the, you know, vendor has received the documentation.
So would you agree that any emails sent back and forth regarding this procurement would have been, or should have been turned over in the FOIA request that led to the protest? Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, that's all I wanted to know. Ms. Wrightson you essentially testified that when we talk about an award, now we're distinguishing between award of the bid, I suppose, and award of the contract. And you're mm-hmm. saying, well, what we meant in the IFE was award of the contract. Is that specification anywhere at all in the IFB that what we mean is the contract?
Yes, I think in the terms and conditions it says we use that word contract in the time period.
Well,
it's 3 years. 3 years with the
okay,
3 year contract period.
But we're talking about when the context of the question was considering somebody for award, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So
the bid awarded, when they fulfill those two requirements, then we will proceed with the contract. And that's what the contract came after.
But the language just says we won't consider a bidder for award unless they have the license.
Yeah, we didn't until the March
okay.
date.
You said that Dr. Okada reviews everything, correct?
She'll go through the packet. I'm not.
So is it
submit.
Is it your position that I guess you don't agree that there was any error in saying that WSI was the most responsible? I don't want to put words in your mouth one way or the other, but is it your position that if there was an error, she would have caught it? I'm trying to see you mean by testifying that Dr. O'Connor reviews everything.
I'll go through it. It's my responsibility to ensure that everything is correct and all the information I'm providing to her is correct. And she will, if she has any questions, then, you know, she would put a little post-it note or ask about it.
Okay.
You're asking whether or not if there's something that she's gonna, that she'll find something if there was an error.
Correct, that's what I'm asking, if there's an error.
So,
I can't
Ms.
answer that.
Yeah, just answer the question to the best extent you can.
Oh, okay. Sometimes.
Okay, so just to clarify that, your testimony is if there's an error, she would probably might catch it because she reviews everything.
Right.
As you testified earlier that, you know, obviously you're not a lawyer, I certainly understand, but you're a GCC's procurement officer, as you testified, correct?
Yes.
Right? Do you feel that you are, as your job, you're required to be pretty familiar with WOM procurement law?
A little bit, but not, I mean, but yeah, a little on procurement, but not all the, you know, all the legal terms, and it's really confusing. I mean, you know, but yes, it's my responsibility to know, and I think in this case, I should have asked for help because I'm not a lawyer, but I really felt like denying the protest was, like, I truly believe that that's why I didn't ask for help, because I really thought that, you know, I read that to mean 14 days upon, you know, of GuamWeb's acknowledging or when we actually issued the, you know, when we sent out the non-award. I mean, I truly believed, I mean, you know, it's something in my head, I'm not a lawyer. But yes, it's my responsibility. I should know the procurement law.
And do you agree that I assume it's true that you've received formal training from GCC on procurement law?
Yes.
Any recross?
Nothing.
Ms. Evangelista, I just had a question or two. To your recollection, were any of the bids submitted in response to the IFB late?
No.
Thank you. Does either party have any redirect or recross based on that question?
No.
All right. Now, is Ms. Evangelista part of your case in chief?
She is.
All right. So, Ms. Evangelista, I'm going to release you as a witness for now. You're going to be recalled by GCC during your case in chief, but I'm also going to order you not to discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses or any party in this case until these proceedings are over. You understand that?
And no one else, right? No one else even, okay.
All right. Thank you very much. You're too subject to recall. And we're going to go off the record for a short break. Before we go off the record, who is your next witness? They're both here, right?
Yes.
Very well. Okay, so let's go off the record.
We're off the record at 3:17 p.m.
Thank you.
We're back on the record for OPAPA 16-002. The time is now 3:25 p.m.
Mr. Bell, we're still in the appellant's case in chief, so you may call your next witness.
I'd like to call Dr. O'Connor, please.
Please say your name for the record.
Mary O'Connor.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
You're a witness, Mr. Bell.
Good afternoon, Dr. O'Connor. Could you state your title just for the record, please?
President of the Guam Community College.
And how long have you been the president of GCC?
9 years.
9 years. I don't personally see it as a conflict, but just for the record, we serve on the Guam Workforce Development Board together, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And if it's okay with you, in light of the fact that Ms. Evangelista answered a lot of the same questions I'm going to ask you, I will essentially be asking you if you concur with Ms. Evangelista and her answers. Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
Dr. Carter, you did wield the ultimate decision-making authority and discretion in determining whether WSI was both responsive and responsible. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
And GCC was procuring a 3-year contract along with 2 1-year options to renew. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. Not just a 3-year contract. Would you concur with Ms. Evangelista that the language in the IFB that says a copy of your business license expired in June 30, 2016 is required upon award? Are you familiar with that language?
Yes.
Do you concur that Ms. Evangelista inserted that language? Is it your position?
I know it's there, but I don't know who inserted it.
Okay, no, thank you. Do you know what that language is there for?
So that on when I get the final document to encumber the funds for any type of contract or agreement for GCC, that the person is licensed on Guam.
Good. As far as comparing bids, do you consider an unlicensed bidder and a licensed bidder equally responsible?
If the end result is that they provide a license, then the answer is yes.
Okay. So you're not concerned that if a vendor is unlicensed, they might not be able to fulfill the contract?
Say it again.
Are you concerned that if a vendor is unlicensed, they might not actually be able to fulfill the contract?
It's a requirement, so we at GCC make sure that the requirements are met. So in order to procure or enter into contract with GCC, you have to have a license.
Are you familiar with the language? Rejection of the bid will be required if the descriptive literature does not show the product offered conforms to the specifications and other requirements of the solicitation?
Yes.
Okay. What does that language mean to you? Does it, do you have an answer for that, or I could be more specific?
Yes, because we've done multiple types of bids, and the literature is usually provided to us so that we can see what it is that they're providing to us. I'll give you an example. So if we're asking for a high back chair, then they have to give us a literature that says that you're going to deliver a high back chair. So that's how we use to confirm that what you're actually going to deliver is what we're asking for. Okay. So in terms of services, if we ask for a particular type of service, then there is some documentation to show that the type of services we're requesting for, that you're actually able to provide something to us that will satisfy that it is what we are asking for.
Okay. In the terms of this particular IFB, you're procuring services, correct?
That's correct.
And the services, the IFB had several specifications, correct?
That's correct.
And as to any particular specification, if WSI's response to that was simply WSI understands and will comply, do you consider that as meeting the requirement?
Just the wording, no. Where they would have to provide some type of information that says we will meet this by, and then provide the information to us.
Okay. Is it your position that the bid was publicly available to Longwebs on February 15th?
Jolene has a record, and there is information that is provided and was available February 15th.
Do you know what information that was available?
The specific details, no.
Okay. Are you familiar with the, do you recall the memo from Mrs. Evangelista to you on February 16th?
Yes.
Do you recall her telling you that WSI was found to be the lowest, most responsive and responsible vendor?
Yes.
Do you agree that that's not correct?
I agree that it is correct.
What do you mean?
I agree that what the memo says is what she meant, and that it is correct.
Okay.
And that it was a recommendation to me for approval.
Okay. So let me just break that down then. WSI was the lowest bidder?
Yes.
And WSI was the most responsive bidder?
Yes.
And WSI was the most responsible vendor?
And it has a combination of all three, yes.
Well, particularly. So how was WSI most?
WSI met the requirements for being responsible, they met the requirements for being responsive, and they met the requirement for being the lowest bidder.
But I want to make sure that I understand what you're testifying. So you don't consider Longwebs, you didn't consider Longwebs and WSI equally responsive and responsible. Is that your testimony today?
I didn't say that. You asked me if Jolene's statement was correct,
okay.
But you made it negative, and so I said, no, her statement is correct, but they are responsive, they are responsible, and we're the lowest. So you made a positive statement negative, and that's why I didn't agree.
So I'm not confused. So
read it again.
Was WSI more responsible, more responsive to the bid than Longwebs?
No, that's not what the memo said. It wasn't indicated on the memo.
Okay, so
the memo said that WSI was responsive, responsible, and the lowest.
What do you interpret the word most in this sentence to mean? What does that word mean most?
Okay, so I understand what you're saying. Yeah, sorry, I'm mistaken. So Jolene Evangelista made a recommendation that, based on the information provided and the evaluation and all the documentation, that they were most responsive by meeting all three requirements.
Okay, I don't mean to beat this to death, but I want to make sure that I understand what your interpretation of this language is. There's two bidders, correct?
Yes.
And so if I say one of the bidders is the most responsive, is that exactly the same thing as saying they're more responsible than you? Would you agree?
Objection. I don't understand the relevance of any of this. The web group found both bids were responsive, completely responsive, and that the lowest bid, the price went to the lowest bidder.
Mr. Bell, in response to the objection.
To me, the relevance is that Ms. Evangelista represented to Dr. Okada that WSI was actually, I interpret it most as meaning more when there's two people, more responsible and more responsive. And I have a hard time accepting that that doesn't make any difference whatsoever, because I know that they're going to look at the low.
Well, I'm going to overrule the objection, but I do have to say that she's already testified that we are the finders of fact. Based on her testimony, she's already stated she believes that the more simply meant that in all three respects, it was more responsive, more responsible, and it had a lower price. I mean, that's, but I'll let you inquire a little further simply for the fact that Ms. Okada did approve the recommendation. So to that extent, you may inquire just a little further, but.
And if I can explain, in fairness to Dr. Ricardo, why I'm asking this. Are you familiar with a memo from Ms. Jane Flores to Ms. Evangelista of the same date, February 16th?
Yes.
Do you agree that Ms. Flores told Ms. Evangelista simply that WSI was the lowest price?
Based on the information that they examined, that was her interpretation.
Okay.
And that was what she submitted to Julian.
I acknowledge for the record that they also found WSI to be responsive and responsible, but do you agree that Ms. Evangelista, in her memo to you, is describing what the web group found differently from what the web group actually said to Ms. Evangelista?
No, my interpretation of Jolene's response is when you have two companies that have the same capability, then you've got to determine one over the other.
Okay.
And so in her memo to me, based on the two proposals that were submitted, there had to be a determination for one or the other. And that's why she used the word most. But most responsive, responsible, and lowest is one component that was used to weigh against the other, because they were both deemed responsible, they were both deemed responsive, but there had to be a tiebreaker. And so by indicating most, that was their indication of the tiebreaker.
Do you recall that GCC sent, do you agree that GCC sent WSI a notice on February 23rd that WSI was awarded the bid?
Yes.
Okay.
That was signed by me.
Correct, yes. Now, as the president of GCC, you are ultimately responsible for answering the FOIA request. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. Do you agree that, WSI requested the entire procurement record when it sent a FOIA request to GCC on February 25th?
Yes, I am aware.
Did you seek any legal guidance as to what information GCC was lawfully permitted to either turn over or withhold?
We did not seek legal advice.
According to your FOIA response, do you agree that he said that the factors used to pick WSI over Guam Webs included the specifications and scope of work were set forth in the invitation to bid?
Yes.
So do you agree then it wasn't just the lowest price?
It was a combination of the lowest price and being responsive and being responsible.
Okay. Do you know Carlos Halihali?
I don't.
On March 10th, when you received Guam Web's protest, were you surprised to learn that WSI wasn't licensed?
Yes.
Who made the determination that Guam Web's had protested too late?
Jolene did. She reviews the FOIA request and issues a response.
In this case, I would be referring to the protest filed by Bromwebs with regard to awarding the bid. Do you recall that the final agency decision was that Bromwebs had not timely protested?
I am aware.
Okay. And obviously you were here to hear Ms. Evangelista's analysis as to why she made the determination that Bromwebs was not timely.
That's correct.
Do you agree with her analysis?
I believe that that's the way she calculated it.
Do you agree? Would you say, as you say here today, would you say that she was correct in rejecting Bromwebs' protest as untimely?
I would have objection. This is an issue that the hearing officer is going to decide after this hearing as to whether or not the protest was timely or not.
Mr. Bell, in response?
My response is I'm asking the president of GCC, who actually has the ultimate authority to make the final agency decision, and I'm asking her if that decision was, and especially in hindsight, was the correct one.
Well, I have to overrule the objection based on her position as the head of the purchasing agency with that authority. Please proceed.
I don't know.
Okay, that's fair enough. As you sit here today, in your opinion, in hindsight, did GCC make any mistakes in the way that this procurement was handled?
I think in this particular procurement, I think based on just reviewing all the documentation that there are some, you know, processes that should be updated.
Would you mind sharing just a couple of examples?
So one thing that was brought to light of this was the notice or the information that there was no business license. And so that was something that was a shock to me.
Thank you, Dr. O'Connor. I have no further direct questions.
Ms. Redson, you're a witness for cross.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so... Dr. Okada, did you rely, we talked some about this memo from Ms. Evangelista to you that transmitted all of the information for the concurrent. Did you rely on specifically Ms. Evangelista's representation in that memo, or before you approved the contract or approved the recommendation to award it?
Before I approve any type of bid awards, I always ask for the whole file. I don't just take a memo that says that they recommend A, B, or C. I always ask for the whole file so that I can review the documentation as to what exactly I'm approving.
Okay, and this is GCC's standard practice.
For any contract, yes, for any contract that I sign, any personnel I hire, I ask for the documentation to support any type of recommendation.
Okay, and so in this instance, what would you have received then?
I would have received the whole bid packet. So sometimes they deliver it to me in a box, and I peruse through as much information as I need until I'm satisfied with whatever it is that makes me feel comfortable to put my signature on it.
Okay. And so did you also then look at what the web group did? Like, would you get copies of the evaluation sheets?
Yes.
Do you get their members? So you had copies of the evaluation sheets from the web group in this instance, and then you had... You said that you saw Ms. Flores' memo.
Yes.
From you.
Yes.
So, really, the transmittal memo from Ms. Evangelista was merely transmitting the documents to you.
That's correct.
Okay. And what did you look at before you decided to approve this recommendation to award?
So I usually take a look. Well, so before a bid goes out, I have to authorize any advertisement of such a bid. So I know that there's a bid going out. And the reason why I do that is to ensure that any type of bid that we put out, that GCC has the funds necessary to support the bid. So I always do that before we issue out any type of procurement or, any type of request for services. When the bid packets come in and Jolene provides a transmittal form, I usually get copies of the evaluation, who served on the team. At the end, I don't approve any of the team members ahead of time, but I do review everything, all the documentation associated with with the procurement.
Okay, so you don't then conduct like an independent review? You don't go back through and...
No.
Okay. So you're relying on the people?
Yes.
And have you ever disapproved a contract award?
There have been times where I've had questions regarding certain things, and I was sent back for more clarification. It's probably happened, it doesn't happen too often, but if I'm not satisfied with what I'm reading or if there's something that I'm missing, I do seek for clarification.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but it, so in this instance, you didn't see anything. I mean, you received the whole packets and you received all of the evaluators' criteria sheets. And did you see any reason to believe that both proposals did not meet the specifications in the scope of work of the IFB?
I didn't see anything that wasn't relevant.
Okay, and did you see any reason not to believe that both bidders' proposals met all of the specifications and that WSI's proprietary price was the lowest price off?
I didn't see anything that was irrelevant.
Okay. So then looking at the response to the Sunshine Act request, which would be Exhibit 2 at page 46, the highlighted section that Mr. Bowe was talking about. So when that response says that the scope of work, they're based on the, what is it, based on the criteria and the scope of work, that's how the bidders, the WSI's proposal was
based
chosen?
On the specifications and the scope of work set forth in the IFB to include
okay.
Amendment 1.
To include Amendment 1.
Okay. Yep.
And so that's actually an accurate representation because that's how the bid was awarded.
Yes.
To WSI.
Yes.
Okay, now, as far as that, I'm just wondering, is a bidder's business license status something that you would typically look into before recommending, before approving the recommendation of a contract to award?
No. Well, I usually look for the business license when I'm actually obligating the funds.
When you're obligating the funds?
Yes.
Okay. And so is it the usual practice then that for GCC to ask for the business license upon the award of a contract?
Yes, there's no, we usually have a list of required documents in order to finalize the process.
And why is it that GCC usually waits until awarding the contract to ask for the bidder's business license?
Because sometimes, we don't always award right away.
Okay, so
we don't always do things, you know, we don't always award bids right, I mean, you know, make contracts right away. Sometimes it takes a shorter time for us to do the evaluation and the eventual, it just depends on the timing. So if we're running across fiscal year end, in this case it's not, but if we're running across fiscal year end, then there's, you know, depending on the workload for the employees and the time of year because of the semester and what we're procuring for the time of year, it just depends.
So it just depends. So
timing
the standard
depends.
So the standard practice is to submit your business license upon award of the contract.
When I obligate the funds, yes.
Okay, and to your knowledge, did WSI present its business license before you signed the contract?
Yes.
And how is it that you would know that?
Yes, I saw it.
So when WSI submitted its business license then upon award of the contract, did you consider WSI was then in compliance with Guam licensing law?
Yes.
And so, you're looking at, I'm going to show the witness Exhibit F, which is on, starting on page 1, and this would be the contract that is awarded to WSI. Can you tell me what the contract term is there?
3 years. Renewed annually from the effective date with option at the sole discretion of GCC for 2 additional years. Not to exceed 5 years.
Okay. So this contract was for 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. And is that GCC standard operating procedure? Is it a 3-year contract? Or is it?
Depends on what you're procuring.
Okay. So why would it, in this instance, would the contract be for 3 years instead of, say, 5?
So as we all know that GCC is an academic institution, and there's a lot of information in regards to technology upgrades. And so in this particular case, it wouldn't make sense for us to do a 5-year contract because we wanted to identify something intermittent so that we can determine that. Because once you make an award, when you do an extension, the parameters of the award are the same. And so, for example, if we wanted to change something, we would have to go back out to bid. And so in this case, the option to renew allows us to determine at that 3-year mark what does GCC need with its website. And because the technology changes all the time, this is one instance where we would want the opportunity to make changes to our website, especially with a new logo, because we're going to be launching a new logo. And we want to make sure that it's that we're able to, because of how our new logo is designed, we want to make sure that we have an opportunity to take the advanced technology component into consideration.
Okay, and are GCC's contracts typically 1 year or 3 years or?
So we can issue a contract for 3 years, but we only issue a procurement for the fiscal year because that's how the budget is identified. So we will enter into a contract ending September 30th, and then we would have to issue another purchase order number or an adjustment to procure the next year's funding. That's the normal process.
Okay. And so the pricing for this particular IFB would be based on, under GCC's standard operating procedure, to determine the lowest price, would GCC be looking at, like, the first year of the contract, the third year of the contract, thinking ahead that maybe GCC was going to renew for another 2 years, what would the pricing be?
Because we requested for a 3-year proposal, then it would be 3 years.
It would be based on the 3 years?
Yes.
Okay. This would be the standard operating procedure for all of GCC contracts. You'd look at the term of the contract and not take into account the renewals.
Yes.
And why is that?
Because we have the option to renew, and sometimes we have chosen not to renew. So you don't want the price made based on the renewals, because there may be an instance where we choose not to renew. And that would, if we chose to determine the lowest price based on 5 years, then that kind of indicates that we're going to automatically renew, and we don't automatically do anything. It's always based on performance and whether or not the person who's requesting for the services needs it, and the person providing the services can still provide it. So it's not a done deal. That's why we put options.
Okay. Sounds reasonable to me. Thank you, Dr. Arpetta. Nothing further.
Mr. Bell, any redirect?
Yes, please. Dr. Ricardi, earlier GCC had distinguished between award of the contract versus award of the bid. Would you agree with that? Is there a difference?
So the contract is the legal document that encumbers the funds. So it's the financial, it's where it actually enters into a purchase order. So a contract in our terms on our system is a purchase order, but labeled a contract. A bid is different.
When did GCC, or when did you decide to award the bid to WSI?
So a bid is determined, awarded, when they meet the requirements that are stipulated in the bid requirements. So in this case, for example, as Jolene indicated, a copy of the business license and the workers that will be assigned to the bid, because we have to clear them off the sex offender registry. The contract is when I affix my signature on the actual document, and in that case, in this case, it is I signed the contract on March 14th, 2016. So that's the official document that you can turn into cash.
I would like to approach performance exhibit 2-58. Show this to GCC Council. Dr. O'Connor, and I promise I'll be brief here, but could you read me the date of this memorandum?
February 16th.
And what is the subject of that memorandum?
Evaluation of bid for web services for GCC and recommendation to issue bid award.
And could you read that last sentence of that memo, please?
WSI is recommended to provide website services for a total amount of $23,100 first year, because that's what we can procure.
And you circled and approved, correct?
Yes.
And signed it?
Yes.
Thank you. Dr. Okada, if WSI, you talked about how this was really a three-year contract, correct?
Yes.
If WSI had submitted a proposal with just a three-year proposal, would that bid have been rejected?
Because we requested for a three-year bid, it should not be rejected.
Didn't the IFB specifically say?
It said 3 years with options for two.
Correct, but that's.
Okay, so.
Well, hang on, Ms. Okada, please wait for him to ask a question and then please answer it. Cutting into his questions.
Oh, sorry.
Please proceed.
Just to confirm, Dr. Okada.
And the reason we're saying that is when you both talk at the same time, the system doesn't pick it up.
The IFB did specifically seek to procure a three-year contract with two options to renew, correct?
So then I stand corrected. It is 3 years with two options, so you have to submit a base of three and two options to renew.
Okay. Do you still maintain them with that clarification that you would only review the fair way to compare prices to only look at 3 years?
Yes, because the two additional years aren't guaranteed. There's no guarantee.
That's correct, but it's GCC's option, correct?
It's our option.
So I understand you're not a lawyer, but GCC, you do understand GCC gains that benefit of those two optional years, correct?
We could or we could not.
Understood, but GCC has the option, whoever won the bid, GCC has the option of exercising those two extra years, correct?
We have an option to exercise or not to award the additional 2 years, so it's both. It's not just one side.
Would you agree that those options are valuable to GCC?
They could be.
Whether you choose to exercise the option or not, would you agree that having that option at GCC's sole discretion to exercise or not is valuable to GCC?
Only if, after a three-year period, that is what GCC deems as necessary to continue.
You stated earlier that you're concerned that if you compare the, if I'm quoting you correctly, essentially, that it wouldn't make sense to review the five-year totals, because that would indicate that the contracts would, quote, automatically renew. Is that what you said?
So the reason why we issued a three-year contract is after a three-year period, two things happen. GCC determines whether the services provided in the first three-year contract are still what we need, and that the provider is providing the services that we need, and whether or not there are any changes. That's our option to identify if there's anything different that we need the services to say. And so that's why we do 3 years, so that we can make a determination internally as to whether or not we want to proceed as is or make changes to the services that we currently have.
But aren't you now talking about awarding the contract as opposed to awarding the bid, which is when you would compare the price?
But our bid is for 3 years. Our request is for 3 years. Optional two are not guaranteed. So you would, based on our request for a three-year contract, use the 3 years as the baseline to determine who wins the award. We're not asking for five. If I wanted five, we would have asked for five. But we didn't ask for five. We asked for 3 years with an opportunity to evaluate whether or not those services were continued in the same format, the same fashion, and then we will award based on whether or not the services will perform satisfactory to us and to the department requesting, and whether or not there were any changes necessary.
So
3 years is our baseline.
Your reasoning then is that 5 years is not guaranteed.
That's correct.
Would you agree that 1 year is not guaranteed? Or sorry, 2 years is not guaranteed. Would you agree with that?
We would have to, so 2 years would not be guaranteed if we didn't have the funds to do it.
And 3 years would not be guaranteed either, correct?
Because it's all subject to the availability of funding. But in the current format, based on what we currently are asking for, 3 years, given the available funding, we would be able to award 3 years.
Did you prepare for today's hearing by reviewing the documents to become familiar with them? Do you have a pretty good idea of the bid price form in your head in terms of what the final prices were?
Yeah.
Do you recall that the bid price form said grand total, and the grand total was 5 years?
Yes.
Did you agree with that? And do you agree that there was no subtotal for 3 years?
That's correct.
I have no further questions. Thank you.
Ms. Bryson, any recalls?
Yes, you think. So, are most people at GCC able to do basic addition, like math?
Yes.
So, with the bid form didn't have a breakdown spot for 3 years, and it just had a grand total. Are you pretty confident that everybody on your staff would be able to add the first 3 years together and come up with a total of a 3-year contract?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And if GCC wanted a 5-year contract, would they have put out an IFB for a 5-year contract?
I would not recommend it.
And the option to renew was solely at GCC's discretion, that's correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, Dr. Okada, if Guam Webs had come in with the lowest bid for, say, the first year of the contract or the third year of the contract, if you had been given approval, a recommendation to approve a contract to award, a contract that would be awarded to Guam Webs because it had the lowest price, would you have done anything differently, or would you have approved the contract to Guam Webs?
I would approve the contract to Guam Webs if they were still considered to be responsible and responsive, because price is not the only determining factor, and the answer is yes.
Okay. So there was no favoritism towards either bidder? GCC wanted a website.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. Nothing further.
I have a question. Dr. Cobbett, toward the end of your testimony before the crosses happened, you stated that you were shocked that WSI had not had a contract. Could you elaborate further what shocked you?
It's a business license.
They didn't have a business license. Yes. When you found out that they did not have the business license, you said you were shocked.
Yes, I was shocked, because if you look at the business license that presented, there is a penalty. And so I know how business licenses work, and I know that when you are issued a penalty, that means you didn't renew on time. But I also know, based on my experience with Revin Tax, is that had there been any pending other areas that you didn't complete with Revin Tax, that if those were all cleared up, you were able to pay the penalty and receive a license. So it doesn't negate the fact that you didn't have one prior, but you're paid a penalty because you didn't renew. But issuing you a contract meant that you cleared up whatever it is, whether it be GRT, income tax, or whatever it is, before they would issue you a license. So yes, I was surprised because I saw a penalty on the business license, and so therefore I knew that something wasn't right not in our initial award for WSI when we awarded them a couple of years ago, but in the renewal, that we should have followed up on the renewal of the business license every year subsequent to that initial.
Thank you for that clarification. That's all I have.
Is there any redirect or recross?
No.
This is questions.
I would have just one follow-up question for Dr. Okada. And so just to clarify then, GCC standard practice has been that you would get when would the business license be presented upon the signing of the contract?
Yes, that's correct. So if the contract is for 3 years, for example, I would see the documentation to procure the funds for the first year. I always look for the business license. Normally, it's a separate document that does a change order that allows for the second year procurement of funds. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it, it's probably part of my oversight that I didn't see a business license when I authorized the obligation for the second year or subsequent year.
Okay, but for purposes of this IFV, for what we're here today, you saw WSI's business license expiring June 30th, 2016.
When I signed the actual document to procure the services for the first year, yes.
Thank you. Nothing further.
Okay, Ms. O'Connor, did you have any? So, Ms. O'Connor, you're going to be excused as a witness. I'm also going to have to give you the same instruction not to discuss her testimony with anybody else because are you planning on calling her as a witness?
She is not part of my direct case.
No. Okay, very well. So, your excuse as a witness then, and but certainly for you to sit down as the institutional representative for GCC. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you go till 4:30. How many more? I think you had Mr. Sharma, is that correct, Mr. Bell?
Yes, sir.
I anticipate that his testimony would be lengthy.
Yes, relatively.
All right. Well, we're still going to proceed with him as long as we can until 4:30, but my point is we still have the GCC personnel.
The direct case, and my direct case will be actually very short based on what we've already heard today. But just for the record, I would like to put on our direct case. So it won't take long.
That's fine. We're going to have to schedule that for the second day.
Which won't be until Thursday.
Yeah, which will be Thursday starting at 9. We can excuse for today the GCC personnel who are patiently waiting in the conference room until, but you can instruct them that they have to be here at 9 a.m. on Thursday.
So it's 9 a.m. Thursday, for sure?
That's correct. Mr. Bell, your next witness.
Yes, I would like to call Mr. Sharma, please.
Please state your name for the record.
My name is Rajesh K. Sharma.
Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Mr. Sharma, could you kindly state your occupation for the record?
Sure. I'm the president of Huang Webs,
okay. And
I'm also the lead web developer, and also my title would technically be a webologist.
Okay. And how long?
A webologist.
Webologist. Okay.
How long have you been in wearing those hats, so to speak?
Since 2004.
Okay. And what does Huang Webs do, generally?
Sure. Huang Webs is a local web design and development company who basically caters to primarily the Huang based clients and helping them develop their web presence.
Okay. Is Huang Webs a local business?
Yes.
What makes it a local business?
Well, first of all, Huang Webs was founded on Huang. Huang Webs has a local business license. We have a local office, work center, and also we have staff on Guam.
Is your office staffed? Like can potential customers off the street just walk into your office during office hours?
Yes, absolutely.
How many employees do you have?
We have a total of 8 employees.
All on Guam?
Objection. I fail to see the relevance of any of this testimony. I don't think there's any question that Guam Webs is a local business.
Your response to the objection, Mr. Bell?
I'm simply, unfortunately, I had planned on having Mr. Carlos Halley here. He decided not to show up.
Was he subpoenaed?
Contrasting, yes, he was. And for the record, my runner gave the subpoena to the office manager of the, I'm drawing a blank on the name of the condo where his office is. Thank you, Holiday Towers, who gave it to Mr. Halley. I have 2 staff members signing affidavits to this effect, and
okay. Well, we don't know if he's anyway. That's the end of the case in chief to tell us whether or not he's non-compliant, but we haven't gotten there yet.
Sure.
So, in response to her objection, relevancy.
Essentially, GCC has stated that we basically just ask. I guess their policies and procedures for determining who's local and who's not is at different times they've testified, what does he have in office, where is he, does he have employees? Those are the things that GCC testified as to.
Well, and we're willing to stipulate that Guam Webs is a local company if that will speed things along.
That was okay. The last of my questions on that issue. So
all right, so is that stipulation acceptable?
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
All right, so the stipulation between the parties is that the appellant is a local company.
Okay.
We go one step further and say that would qualify for the procurement preference, because I believe that's a true relevance. Or
I think we agree on that. We don't agree as the reasons why.
Do you agree on that or not?
Well, I guess our position is that this local procurement preference is not even relevant to any of this.
Well, I understand that, but that is part of his case.
I guess
the questions he's asking are eliciting information that would allow a trier of fact to determine whether or not the local procurement preference would apply. Are you willing to make that stipulation? If you're not, that's fine. I'm gonna have to.
Yeah, I guess I'm not quite. No, I'm not willing to agree.
Okay. Your objection's overruled. Please proceed.
Are you personally familiar with Carlos Halihali?
I don't personally know him. I know him.
Is he a competitor?
He's from another web design company.
Okay. Do you personally know where his web design company is located?
Yes, it's in a condominium complex in Sinahania. I think it's called Holiday Tower.
At least as far as you know, is WSI a local business?
From what I know of WSI, WSI is a international company who has representation in different cities around the world.
Okay. What is the CMS?
CMS stands for Content Management System.
What does a content management system do?
Sure. Content management system would be almost like the brain of a website, I would say the nerve center of a website, which allows those managing the website to enter content, which automatically then displays in a more appealing manner, which the public can see. So a content management system really helps manage the content, which the public sees in the front end in the website.
Okay. How long did it take you to prepare your, you did submit a bid proposal for this IFB, obviously, right?
That's correct.
How long did it take you to prepare that bid proposal?
I'd say between 8 to 10 days of just working at it diligently.
Why so long?
I see designing a proposal is designing a plan and making sure that all the specifications are met accurately.
Did your past experience influence how much time you spent on putting your proposal together for GCC?
Yes.
How so?
I've participated in various bids for website design and development and maintenance of websites. Did you want me to go into detail?
Did you also submit IFBs to other educational institutions on Guam?
Yes. So currently Guam Webs is the website design developer and manager for the University of Guam's website. And that was a learning curve to answer your question about why we spend that much time. The first time around, say 8 to 10 years ago perhaps, Guam Webs participated in a bid, and for every line item, I simply had replied, Guam Webs can do this, and we can make this happen, and so forth. And I mean, we fell flat on our face in that case, and we did not win that bid. And I did ask through FOIA why, and the response was that I did not give, I guess, enough reading material back to the committee who was deciding on that bid. So I learned my lesson, and I really make my proposals thorough now.
So in that IFB, you essentially lost because you didn't explain how you would meet the specs? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's correct.
What happened? Were you at the bid opening?
For GCC, yes.
Yes, right. What happened at that bid opening?
Basically, the bids are opened, and GCC went through both bids from WSI and Guam Webs, and there's a sheet, I guess they call it the abstract, and every single item is checkmarked. It's a real quick way of checking whether at least the initial documents are there, I guess. And then the prices are read out loud, and you basically hear the total price of what's being mentioned. And what I did was I basically quickly jotted them on my phone.
Were you told who the winner was?
No. The bid opening, there's no announcement of a winner. There's no award made at that moment.
Do you recall what time you arrived at GCC that day?
I was at GCC itself already by 8:30. I usually make it about an hour sooner to the property itself.
Was there a sign-in sheet?
When I submitted the bid, yes, I did sign it to a sheet that was around 9:30.
Was Mr. Halley signed in to the sign-in sheet?
Not that I know of, and when I saw the sheet, I thought it was the only one who would be submitting the bid.
There's nobody else from WSI that you know of signed in?
No.
How exactly did you submit your proposal?
I'm sorry?
How exactly, physically, did you submit your proposal?
I went to the materials office, and I submitted the proposal there.
Do you recall who you gave it to?
It was Debbie Duaneys.
Was it timestamped by GCC?
Yes, I have a sheet as well that I had stamped.
Was it taken out of your view?
The bid itself?
Correct.
Yes, I was asked to leave and just wait in the lobby or the reception.
Are you able to tell for sure that your submission and pricing was kept confidential until the bid was opened?
I wouldn't know that.
And you didn't see anyone else submit a proposal?
No, I did not see anybody else submit a proposal.
Were you surprised when you eventually learned you didn't win the bid or win the award, correct?
That's correct.
Were you surprised?
Yes, I was surprised.
Why were you surprised?
I seriously thought that we went in with a very strong proposal, and given the fact that we have Guam Webs has a credible portfolio, that the evaluation team, whoever was evaluating the bids, would have leaned towards awarding the bid to Guam Webs.
And so were you similarly surprised that WSI did win?
Yeah, somewhat, considering that WSI really, I know the other players in this industry on Guam, and I seriously don't know of any other major projects such as the GCC project that WSI has ever has worked with. So yes, it came somewhat as a surprise.
Based on the documents you reviewed, you have reviewed some of WSI's documents, correct?
Yes, some whichever was made available to me through my FOIA request.
Okay. Was reliability of the CFS one of the bid requirements?
Reliability of it, yes, that's right.
In layman's terms, briefly, what does that mean?
So a reliable CMS, again, that's a content management system, would be a content management system that has some validation over the years and through the community. And what that means is it's a content management system that can be broken apart and evaluated by specialists and experts and say, this is a really good system or not. And I guess support and upgrades of that system are important as well. So a reliable CMS would be one that has a lot of support from other developers around the world that could actually give their feedback and build that content management system further.
Okay. How could GCC tell whether WSI's proprietary CMS was reliable?
I don't think anybody can tell whether a proprietary CMS is reliable unless they're the ones who've built that CMS. I mean, if coding and it's such a secret and it's kept proprietary, I don't see how others in the community, and when I say community, I mean the web development community, would be able to actually understand whether it's reliable or not, because you're not allowed to scope its back-end development or its code.
Okay.
What about the people that at least GCC claims are IT people? Could they determine the reliability of WSI CMS?
I don't think anybody can really gauge the reliability of a proprietary CMS unless if it's open source.
Why did you send GCC a FOIA request?
I sent a FOIA request the first time after Guam Webs received a non-award. And usually, it's good practice as a small business to, for us, and we do this for, to be honest, we would do this whether we win or not win an award. And it's good practice for any small business to understand how the process went. So basically, that's why I sent a FOIA.
Do you, is it your position that WSI was not entitled to the local procurement preference?
Yes, for that I am steadfast. WSI should not receive local procurement preference for, I guess, a variety of reasons.
Such as?
Well, first of all, and as I did the FOIA with GCC, I also did, I wanted to look at public records, and one of them was to see whether WSI, because if they're claiming local procurement preference, then they're saying that they're a local company. So I would ask Department of Revenue and Taxation, their business license branch, whether WSI or similar WSI Guam or any similar names are licensed, and they came back and said that they do not have a current valid business license. That it was not renewed since 2013. So
this has all been established.
Also, yeah, just for the record, sorry, that's GCC has conceded that issue. So
okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Appreciate that.
But and then at the same time, local procurement preference would mean so I quickly checked GCA, Guam Code Annotated, and read about it, and I see that there's a two-part check that you should have a facility and you should have a local business license.
Okay. And you did say you've been a government vendor for years, essentially, right?
That's right.
In your experience as a government vendor, have other agencies required a local business license to get that local procurement preference?
Yes.
Have you spoken to others about the local procurement preference?
Objection, I don't see the relevance of this. We're talking about a procurement with GCC. I don't see how other agencies' practices are relevant.
I'm going to sustain the objection. Please move on, Mr. Bell.
Will do. From your standpoint, though, at least in terms of, you know, coming up with your price, does WSI gain any pricing advantage by being unlicensed?
First of all, it's as a small business, it's not playing on fair ground to me. That's how I feel. But do they gain an advantage? Sure thing. I mean, I don't see how they would pay their GRTs or taxes if they don't have, because you have to put a serial number on the GRT form.
Okay.
How would you do that if you don't have a valid business license? So if you're not paying your overhead, such as taxes and so forth, or whether you're paying your employees.
Objection, I don't think there's anything in the record that says WSI was not paying taxes.
Mr. Bell, in response to the objection.
Mr. Carlos Harley Halley, if he was here, I could ask him himself.
Well, he's not here, so what is the objection is relevance?
I concede we don't know for sure one way or the other whether or not Carlos Harley Halley, we don't know why he didn't renew his license, right? But as a business person testifying from experience, what he's saying is if somebody is not licensed, it could be an indication that they haven't been paying their taxes. So somebody that's not paying those, I actually know people that's the reason they don't have a license, because they can't afford to pay the taxes.
But so it could also be because they just simply didn't renew their license on time?
I concede we don't know. We're guessing. But
yeah, well, that's just too speculative. But I'm going to sustain the objection.
Okay.
Please move on.
Getting to the specifics of the bid review sheet, you did review the bid review eval sheets that were turned over to you?
Yes, I did.
Via FOIA request? You did list several examples of your complaints in your initial protest, correct?
Yes.
You complained that Ms. Angela Caprera
didn't give you credit for addressing technical support and response time, correct?
Yes.
And you also stated that she didn't give you credit for a comprehensive description of services, correct?
Yes.
And she also didn't give you credit for reviewing content or recommending improvements?
Yes.
And she also didn't give you credit for making the website user-friendly?
That's correct.
Or providing a detailed plan on web page navigation?
That's correct.
Or providing standardized templates?
We will agree to what the evaluation sheets say.
All the, and all those things that you were denied. Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Is that an objection? Or?
It's a,
okay, well, either state an objection or, okay, he is moving along, so this is still his case in chief.
So all these things that you were deemed to as not, deemed to not having provided, you did provide, correct?
That's correct. Guam Webs did provide those, and in my protest, I actually made copies of sections from my webs from my proposal, and I pointed out where I provided them.
Without getting into the nitty gritty details of all the specifications, the technical jargon, are there any other major flaws in the bid review process that you felt were unfair?
Yes, I've really stated them in my protest and throughout, I guess. The appeal process. First and foremost, I think that the local procurement preference should have been applied to Guam Webs, mainly because just assuming the fact that another vendor is a local business doesn't make them a local business. So in this case, I think during price evaluation, GCC should have really said, hold up, there's this local procurement preference form that we have, and both parties have signed it, and are we going to grant this to them or not? And I think they failed to do that, and if there was a bit more diligence, then they would have checked that. The two-part check, the law says, from what I read, I'm not a lawyer, but from what I read is facility and business license. Guam Webs had it, and WSI did not have the business license. And I understand what GCC has said in response in FOIA as well, that business license would be only needed during contract signing or upon award. I understand what they're saying. But what I'm saying is that it should have been really considered at the point of price evaluation. And during price evaluation, if you look at both, then I'm saying we're a local business because I could prove it with that business license on my wall, and I have a facility that you can walk in to see that business license. This company doesn't. That makes us a local company. We deserve local procurement preference. The total price is what we're basing off, because the grand total is, when I submitted the proposal, it was the grand total that we stated there. It was not 1 year or 2 years. It was the entire proposal basically said, all right, bottom line, what's the grand total? And that's the grand total that we placed there. And if you apply the local procurement preference there, Guam Webs would win, should have won the award. And besides the other array of errors found in evaluation and so forth.
In the end, why do you think WSI was awarded the bid?
Quite bluntly, GCC has made a mistake in assuming that WSI should have been, was a local business, and both are local businesses, and did not grant local procurement preference or ignore to grant it. If they would have really looked at it diligently, then that, I believe that GCC has made that mistake.
In addition to your testimony and your, the appeal record, correct? In addition to your other reasons?
That's correct.
I have no further direct questions, thank you.
Any cross-exam?
I do, and if, in the interest of time, I can hold off on it until Thursday.
Okay, because I think it would be rather lengthy.
I do think it'll be a little bit.
Okay.
Our hearing officer has to leave.
Yes, I do understand that. In light of the hour, it's probably going to be at least 20 or 30 minutes.
Very well. All right, so what we'll do is we will then take a break here, and we will reconvene with the cross-examination of Mr. Sharma on Thursday at 9 a.m. And are there any other issues we need to take up at this time?
Just more as a matter of, do you expect the hearing will take the entire day?
I guess my GCC's direct case for me will not take that long. I assume that I'm probably going to have maybe a 20 or 30 minutes with Mr. Sharma. And provided that we've already heard most of the testimony from the web group, I would just be putting on the basic elements of GCC complied with the statute. And if I'm allowed to lead the witnesses through that, since we've already heard their testimony, then we can make it go pretty quickly. So I think half of a day would be at most.
Did you have any other witnesses other than possibly Mr. Holly Holly?
I would like Mr. Holly Holly's presence. Frankly, I do think it's necessary. And if the hearing officer and the public auditor is satisfied that if we could prove that my runner gave it to the building manager, which gave it to Mr. Holly Holly, if that satisfies the OPA's standard for service of the subpoena, and then yes, I'm going to enforce that subpoena.
I believe it might require personal service or service upon the employer or service upon his residence. That's the issue. All right.
We can still serve him if he was given served before Thursday. And I might appreciate the opportunity to try to do so.
We have tomorrow to do it.
Yeah. So, Mr. Sharma, I'm going to give you the same order. Please do not discuss your testimony with any of the other witnesses or any of the other parties. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Sand. We will reconvene on Thursday, July the 7th at 9 a.m. And we're going off.
We're off the record at 4:30.